Greetings and welcome to the 16th installment of our podcast series, The Workforce Lens, brought to you by Tarrant County College in North Texas. I am Shannon Bryant, Executive Vice President for Corporate Solutions and Economic Development, and I will be your host, moderating strategic conversations with employers and economic developers on all things related to preparing and growing the workforce today and in the future. Today, please help me welcome our guest, Jennifer Trevino, Executive Director at Leadership Fort Worth. Welcome, Jennifer, and thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me today.
So excited to have you on the show today. So let's get started. Let's talk about Jennifer Trevino. Tell us a little bit about your journey to become the Executive Director of Leadership Fort Worth. How did you land in this spot?
Well, I often joke with our program participants and say, you just never know what might happen, because I'm a 2009 graduate of leadership class. And really, that sparked a lot of my community interest, civic engagement, in addition to the role I already had at UNT Health Science Center as the Chief of Staff to the President. And so it just really sparked from there on, building upon my corporate background, my retail store operations experience, as well as other things that I was already doing in the community. And that's what helped me make that jump from consulting after my city council campaign in 2017, and then jumping full-fledged into the nonprofit sector, first with Girls Inc. of Tarrant County and now with Leadership Fort Worth.
Very nice. And I just want to note that I'm a 2021 Leadership Prime alum, and we'll talk about what that means here shortly.
Yes.
So let's talk about Leadership Fort Worth. Yeah. What is Leadership Fort Worth, and how did it come to be?
So our mission of the organization is really to educate, empower, and connect diverse leaders who serve as catalysts for a vibrant and sustainable community. So what that means is we came about in 1972. We were formed by five founding organizations who 50 years later are still involved in our work. So that includes the Fort Worth Chamber, the Junior League of Fort Worth, Texas Christian University, Texas Wesleyan University, and the University of Texas at Arlington. So those organizations came together in 72 to form Leadership Fort Worth. And what sparked this, we're not the first. Leadership programs are all across the country, across the Metroplex, and a lot of them are affiliated with a national organization called the Association for Leadership Programs, ALP.
Right.
But we took the model that Atlanta had formed. So Leadership Atlanta formed back in, I think it was 68, and unfortunately had a tragedy. But it was one of those things where they had a large contingent of community and civic leaders who were unfortunately on a plane crash that left a huge void, as you can imagine, in the city's leadership. And so they wanted to be better prepared for a situation like that, and also generating the spark and everything else I think that was going on in the country at the time also aligned with this, that that model was then adopted across the country. Now, you go to Leadership Dallas, Leadership Fort Worth, Leadership Austin, Leadership Atlanta, they're all different because they need to be focused on what the community needs. So that's one of the things is we're trying to do is make sure that we're providing the leaders that Fort Worth needs now and hopefully for the next 50 years.
So Leadership Fort Worth offers several development resources for leaders, including Leader Prime that I mentioned.
Yeah.
What is the focus of the various programs? Can you talk about those? And how does it benefit Tarrant County executives?
Right. So I'm going to start with the class, leadership class. That's the 9-month program that I graduated from. And that's a program that's designed to gather established leaders. Usually they're director level and up in their careers. And they've already been involved with the community, probably already been on a nonprofit board or have that kind of experience. But they're looking to get additional training and really fostering that deep connection with understanding the challenges in our community. And, of course, expanding their network. One of the things that we hear from all of our programs is, I'm well-networked in the banking field, or I'm well-networked in the engineering world, but I would never have had the opportunity to meet somebody in healthcare, K-12 education, higher ed, nonprofit, the broader community. And, that's one of the things that we bring together. So that's a 9-month program. We are about to be announcing in the coming weeks our 50th class. So
congratulations.
Thank you. It's very exciting. 1973 to 2023. We're fortunate, as you met, former mayor Kenneth Barr was in the inaugural class. We're going to be reaching out to all of the members of the inaugural class to celebrate with us as well. But then we've also added some other programs. So Leading Edge is a six-month program, and that's designed for our emerging leaders, typically our younger professionals. I've already been in the workforce, but really looking to deepen their community understanding. And so there's more focus on helping them build the capacity, connections, and understand what it means to be a community trustee.
Is there a mentorship part with that?
Not yet. Okay. But that is something that we're talking about, of how do we take the different programs, especially from our alumni, as a way maybe of engagement to have Leader Prime graduates help mentor leadership class members and class members mentor EDGE members and so on and so forth.
Sign me up. I'll be your first volunteer.
All right, good. Well, and that's so it's just us figuring out how we set it up and get it going. But I think that's definitely something on our the horizon, especially as we get ready for our next strategic plan. Leader Kids is the next program, and that's our youth program that I want to talk to you about. So it's designed for eighth graders. And we partner with Fort Worth ISD and the TCU's Leadership Center. And they've been with us again, you know, for a long time. And that program started back in the 90s as a part of an initiative under Mayor Kay Granger at the time to make Fort Worth a more child-friendly city. So the class took that project on, and here it is, you know, today they've graduated over 1,200 students through that program. It's, you know, selected eighth graders from about two dozen middle schools across Fort Worth ISD, and they go through basically a similar program that we do for adults, but in a more condensed fashion that starts usually in October and ends in April before the TCU mentors end their spring semester.
Right. So it's funny that you mentioned eighth graders, because a lot of time when I'm talking to employers in my role about learning development for their employees, about retaining employees and recruiting employees, is that I always ask the question, are you engaging with the K through 12 sector? Right. And typically the answer is yes, but what they say is they're engaging with, you know, kids in high school. And so I always ask the question, are you engaging with the eighth grader?
Right.
Because the eighth grader, that's kind of that influential stage, right?
Yeah.
So was there any rationale behind the eighth grade level?
Yeah, I think so. And that matches with my experience in the community and volunteerism as well. Eighth grade being such a pivotal transition, there's so much, you know, just from a social-emotional standpoint for the students, but that's also from just a dropout prevention standpoint. That a lot of things that happen in that period and that transition to ninth grade and on really paves the way. Do they graduate? Do they go on to careers or college or other certification programs? That really was part of it. And I think also Leadership Fort Worth's recognition of the pipeline development that we have to do. There's with the having the TCU student mentors involved, one, there's a relational standpoint, a component, right, of having a college student with eighth graders. The other aspect of it is that we move it around the community just like we do with our other programs. So every program day is at a different site. So they get experiences being in different parts of the city of Fort Worth. Maybe they'd have never been out of that in their neighborhood or their school, you know, bubble. But also gives them example to other leaders and speakers and careers and thoughts and ideas about what they can do. So, you know, many of, as you know, having that eye, if you can see it, you can be it.
Exactly.
Is really important in that program.
Right. And especially, too, when you see people like you who are already doing it, right?
Exactly.
Aspiring to be the best that you can be.
Yeah. Sharing their stories, sharing their journey, and then, oh, well, maybe I can do that, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So those are wonderful programs. Yeah. Any others you want to mention?
So the last one is the one you were in. So that was developed. That was the Leader Prime is our newest program developed in 2015, 2016. And as a recognition of the change that Fort Worth was going through of our community leaders, our executives, a lot of them are coming from other parts of the country, the world, and kind of wanting to get them a crash course in the Fort Worth culture. Not necessarily to hold on to maybe outdated things or whatnot, but just to get them connected quickly. So it's a three-day intensive, as you know and experienced. Typically in the spring, the dates shuffle around depending on what's going on, but 2 days back-to-back in the spring, and then a month later, the third day, a Friday, that we close it out, brings together about two dozen leaders. We invite partners and spouses to also join with those selected invited leaders, usually from companies that have just relocated, leaders that have just been promoted. So it's definitely for like the newer C-suite type executive in our community. And one of the things that I love, I overheard a conversation in our last cohort that just graduated in 2022. And it was one of our leaders on the phone with the staff person who had recommended he pursue this opportunity. And he was telling this person on the phone that, "I'm so glad you made me do this program. There's no way I could have met all these people or made these so many connections in such a short time. It would have taken me months, if not years, to do all this and really get plugged in and know people that I could pick up the phone and say, hey, we were in Leader Prime together." And that's the secret sauce for most of our programs for adults.
It's, and I'll be a commercial for you. Leader Prime was fundamental for me in, awesome. In learning the Fort Worth culture, just learning the people that are here, the different leaders in the community, because you're right, I would have never been engaged so quickly.
Right.
And it's a great program. So if you're all listening, Leader Prime, if you're an executive here in the area or new to the area, by all means,
for sure,
reach out to Jennifer.
Thank you.
Sure. Can we go back to the 9-month program?
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that format? Are you meeting once a month and you're engaging with economic development one month, education the next, and what that format looks like?
So that 9 months, we'll kick off in September of this year, and they'll graduate in May. And each month, there's 1 month, I think it's October this year, that they'll have 2 dates. We moved it. We were like, why are we doing this? You know, we did some learning things, right? You know, from we used to be have the two days in February. And as we all know, the winters have been a little challenging lately. So we're moving some things around. But, yes, typically each program day is focused on a different topic. So we start off by laying the foundation about community trusteeship. Like, what does it really mean to be a community trustee, that you're committing to making Fort Worth be a better place for everyone to live and work, and that by making your decisions that you are ideally enhancing the broad community, but at least doing no harm to another segment of the community. So we start with that. Then we talk about other program days include human needs, where we might talk about food security or insecurity, housing and homelessness. Other days include arts and culture, education, where we typically talk K-12 and higher education in the area. All of our higher education partners, including Tarrant County College, have been fabulous partners for all of our programs. You know, this last year we were at City Hall in the council chambers, and at least half of the class had never been to City Hall, let alone in the council chambers where decisions are being made that affect their daily lives. So that's really what we're doing, even at an adult level of exposure and insight and helping them understand impact of local elections. How does that work? But also exposing them to what are the things that are going on in the community, the arts organizations, the other nonprofit organizations. And so, yes, each month is a different focus and a different topic.
Okay, wonderful. So I'm curious to know, what are you hearing amongst your I guess of all the programs that you have, what are some of the biggest challenges facing leaders in the Fort Worth community currently that you're hearing?
I think one is that really fostering that pipeline. So we have representation challenges, right? I think I benefited from working with, growing up with mentors and, you know, people that believe me and gave me opportunities growing up that maybe others didn't have. So I think that's one of the things, is building that pipeline, because, for example, our public school district, Fort Worth ISD, and granted there's like a dozen school districts in Fort Worth proper, let alone when you expand to Tarrant County.
Right.
But getting all of those students ready, so college ready, career ready, in between, as we've seen with the pandemic and people needing to get retrained and go back to school and shift gears. So I think that's what we're seeing, that talent retention, because we're doing a lot to foster that growth within the youth and our students and K-12, but then making sure that they feel like they have a place to go here in Fort Worth, and that they're not going off to Austin or they're going off to another community that they feel more welcomed in.
Right.
So I think that's one of the challenges. But, you know, I think the other thing is, like all of us have been dealing with, change is happening so much faster. You know, just as I mentioned earlier, Leadership Fort Worth will be embarking on our new strategic plan. And, you know, the school of thought used to be you could have a 5 or 10 year plan, and more and
not
more
anymore.
It's like a rolling 3 years, or maybe, you know, revisit it every 18 months. Mm-hmm. So seeing that even go from the for-profit sector into an organization like ours, it's a nonprofit, I think that's, again, some of the same challenges that leaders are having. when we talked about the Great Resignation in our breakfast event, our Leadership Outlook breakfast event this past spring, we had so many different leaders in HR, childcare, nonprofit, and at the end of the day, it's really how do you keep folks? There's so many more options that have been presented during the pandemic. And then we're also seeing all the generational shifts, I think, too. I'm a Gen Xer, so I feel like I can kind of straddle some of the generations and can relate somewhat to the baby boomers, but also to the millennials that aren't that young anymore. And now here comes Gen Z and, you know, figuring all that out. So I think that's the other shift that we're really seeing in folks trying to really understand what does that mean for how we work, where we work, when we work.
That's a big topic I'm having conversations with every day, mm-hmm. visiting CEOs and executives in the region every day, even across the country.
Yeah.
This is the first time in history we've had 4 or 5 generations in the workforce.
Yeah.
And so we have multi-generations in the workforce. And how do we communicate with each other? And it's not that one is bad or worse than the other, right? It's a different way of communication.
Yeah.
And so that is definitely an issue. So I'm glad you're approaching that because it's much needed these days for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So. We're definitely talking about it a lot, even in our conversations on the topics, you see how the generational differences can come up.
Yep. They certainly can. So, so I'm curious to know from your role in the community here, what is your view of the region's economic landscape? Because we were talking about, you know, companies coming here from other places, companies that are expanding and growing here that have been here for a long time, legacy companies. What's your view from your seat?
I see it very, very dynamic and changing and some positive pressure, you know. So I had a colleague who used to say, you know, pressure makes diamonds. And so, you know, sometimes you're forced to change, maybe when you know you're not ready to, but it can really create great opportunities and things. And I think that's the thing that I'm seeing with the overall economic community. And people are wanting different things from whether it's a chamber, whether it's an organization like ours. So adapting to those needs. So, you know, what we used to do, even when I went through leadership class, won't fly with the class that we have now, even that we just graduated. You know, they want more interaction, more opportunities to engage with each other, even less talk at, you know, kind of thing. So just little shifts even like that that make a difference in how we approach our programming, speakers we invite. You know, not saying that all of our speakers or facilitators have to be, showmasters, so to speak, but, you know, having that right combination of delivery and content and the ability to engage adult learners is really important, too.
Yeah, that's a whole different engagement. Yeah. So I'm curious to know with the folks that you have coming through all of your leadership programs, primarily at the adult level, is there a certain percentage that you're tracking that are actually coming here from somewhere else versus those that are already here?
So I would say the mix is definitely shifted. So when I went through, say, in 2009, majority of folks were Fort Worth natives or pretty close. As we do just kind of a show of hands with class or even the executives, that number gets smaller and smaller. And so I think that's also why our work is important to help bring those people together that might not otherwise cross paths.
And that's why one of the reasons I wanted to have you here today, because working in my role in economic development here in the county, you know, there's so many new businesses coming here. And part of the reason for this podcast and its existence is that most of my guests are typically CEOs and executives from companies in the region who've just recently moved here.
Yeah.
And so we're talking to them about, you know, why did you move here? How are you finding the talent? How are you finding the collaborative relationships? And so promoting, leadership Fort Worth is key.
Yeah.
So, great.
And we're trying to do more on that front, too, to see how we can plug in more with companies that are coming. So just as maybe not, you know, the old school of the folder of relocation packages, you know, where here's their list of movers, here's your list of realtors, you know, those kinds of things, but the modern version of that. So we're trying to figure out the best way to approach that so that we can be a resource for the new organizations that are coming here too.
Right. So I guess that was one of my next questions. What role is Leadership Fort Worth playing in economic development? And I guess the second question is, are you going to add that as part of your new strategic plan?
Possibly. So, excuse me, as I mentioned earlier, the secret sauce of Leadership Fort Worth, I really think, is our ability to convene people that wouldn't otherwise cross paths, to have discussions, to work together, to learn from each other. And so because of that cross-pollination and that awareness that we're fostering, I feel like that's where we play the best, because you, a lot of companies have training and development departments, or you can go to TCC or other organizations that have, you know, executive education, retraining, that kind of thing. But nowhere do you going to have in Fort Worth an organization like ours that's bringing together the cross-section of the community that you have. And not only who is in the room and the cohort, but also then the exposures to the different organizations, companies where we host the programs, the speakers and whatnot that we bring in. And that's even why we're trying from an alumni standpoint to continue that ongoing exposure and networking opportunities between all the classes.
Right. So working with all the employers mm-hmm. and all the leaders that you are working with, obviously a big topic this day is workforce skills, skills gaps. Mm-hmm. What kind of education skill sets are you finding? And I know you work across a lot mm-hmm. of different industries, but from a foundational general standpoint, what right. kind of skill sets are you finding that your folks are looking for in potential employees?
I hear a lot about like having a good, strong foundation of technical skills, but also really high on the emotional intelligence. You know, being able to understand people, read a situation, read a room. That's something that continues to be a key skill that comes up a lot. The other I'd say is just willingness to learn or be trained. You know, so I had an early boss that's I give a lot of credit to. His name was Tom Carver. He was the unit director for H-E-B Grocery in Waxahachie, Texas, where I was right out of college. But he explained to people unabashedly, you know, no issue. The program that I was in, I was the first person in that store that had been placed for that program. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people didn't know what to make of me. And he said, I'm going to eventually work for her someday. That's the best way he could say it. Like, she's in this development program that's going to advance you. And I think that's the other thing. Just leaders, no matter what level you're at, you can learn from all your employees. You can learn from even sources you wouldn't expect, you know. So that's, I think, the other thing about hearing from higher ed, but you're in engineering, or hearing from, you know, folks in healthcare, but you're in the nonprofit sector. And I think that's what we get out of our own, you know, four walls virtually or
Right. You got to get outside of that comfort zone, right?
Yes. And that's where, you know, those new ideas can come in, the different perspectives can come in. So I think those are the kind of top three that I'd say, you know, that strong technical skills, but good emotional intelligence, willingness to learn, and then the new ideas, being open to new ideas and fresh perspectives.
There you go. And that's what I always say when I'm talking to employers too. I'll ask them the same question, and I'll always say, make sure you're always, not only for us, because as leaders, we always have to continue our lifelong learning, right? Learning never stops if you want to continue to grow and prosper. But even for our young folks, for employers who are trying to hire new employees, I always say hire for curiosity. Because curiosity is, you know, it's somebody who wants to learn. They want to know. They want to expand. And those are the types of employees that you want. You want the ones who are curious, because they're going to be willing to learn and grow and help you grow in the meantime.
Yeah. So. It's that basic asking the why. Why do we do it this way? And kind of busting through that, well, that's just the way we've always done it, you know, kind of thing. And so I think that's
anymore.
That's what gives you the idea of like, well, why do we do it that way?
Yep, you know? Exactly. So I want to transition just a bit. So I always, the topic of diversity, equity, inclusion is a really important topic for me in the work that I do. And in particular, being employed by, you know, I've been employed by a couple of major community colleges here in the country. And I often see minority students being the majority of students at a community college level. But then I walk down the halls of the regional employers and I don't always see the same reflection. Right. And you're a certified diversity professional, and I'm curious to know, tell us about that and the approach to diversity and recruiting for leadership Fort Worth programs.
Right. So a couple things. So I had the opportunity to be in one of the first cohorts of the National Diversity Council's Diversity First program. So that's where I got the certification. And I did that because I wanted to have, I wanted to know more, not just to lean on my lived experience and growing up and background and training as my life as a leader, as a female executive with a biracial background, you know, so being able to flex in different scenarios, but also wanting to understand more about it and be able to support faculty, staff, and students at the time at UNT Health Science Center. So it was important to me to have that and not just lean on my experience in that sense. Because I know I don't have all the answers either. And again, recognize I have bias. We all have bias.
That we do.
And we have to be able to recognize that or have people around us that will check us on those things. So it was really educational for me. And even since I did that program in 2015 or 2016, things have evolved so much. So it's a constant learning. Again, I think that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. How we're looking at it from Leadership Fort Worth standpoint, I'll be honest, when I went through the program, I didn't know that our mission included basically providing Fort Worth with diverse and enlightened leaders. Didn't realize that was a thing because, honestly, my class was not that diverse back then. It's way more diverse now. When I say that, that's not just what I call the check-the-box diversity, what you can see, race, gender, ethnicity. Right. It is LGBTQ community. It is from Fort Worth, not from Fort Worth, you know, different parts of the country, different backgrounds, people who have changed careers, undone shifts. Like I did from, I think this is my sixth field that I've been in now. I'm in the nonprofit world. But I think we're looking at it, too, to make sure, and our program participants call us on it when there's a panel and they feel like there's a perspective or voice that was missing. We talk about it. That's why there's an importance of the evaluations, and we read the feedback after each session to say, okay, we missed the boat there. And I think that's where one of the program directors I hired, Sarah Fairley, who facilitates the leadership class and leading edge programs, she's great about wanting feedback. And it helps me, too, to say, okay, it's not like criticism per se, but it's how do we get better?
Right. Exactly.
So yeah. I think, you know, we still have a ways to go from that standpoint with diversity. You know, our board is more diverse, but we're still not in line with gender. You know, so those are areas I look at. And we're even made a shift this last year of we don't have a lot of opportunities to do business with companies or organizations, but where we can, to be intentional about that. So catering, for example, or who we order swag from, or even going to organizations that Leadership Fort Worth hadn't been, that were willing to host us, like Artes de la Rosa, or partnering with some of the newer organizations in town that, because I have a multi-generational team, they're on the pulse of knowing some of those things too.
And that's important, mm-hmm. right? The diversity of your team from all aspects. Yeah. So I'm curious to know of the employers that you're engaging and the members that you have. Are you hearing a lot from those individuals that have employers? Are they implementing strategies on diversity, equity, inclusion?
They are. And I think back to, again, when I was at HEB, that was 20-something years ago, and I was on their inaugural diversity council. So in some ways, it's still what then versus now. There's still things that are relevant and challenges. I think in a post-George Floyd era that we're living in, I think that's when Fort Worth, that kind of a tipping point for many people in Fort Worth, that we talk about it a lot more openly. Again, because with the pandemic, what's going on across the country from a social issue standpoint, I think employers can't ignore it anymore. They can't separate it because their employees are demanding and expecting, especially younger generations, as you know, they want to feel good about the company that they work for.
Right.
They want to know that they're doing good things in the community, that they have the opportunity to give back. How are they being good corporate citizens, so to speak? So I'm seeing more organizations, even like us, that have more statements, policies around recruiting, but not just even saying, okay, we have to have a diverse slate, or we have to do outreach in diverse communities or publications or what have you, but also around family friendly, which is interesting because, you know, with the great resignation, you also heard about the great exodus of women in the workforce, childcare, transportation, all these things, single parent families. So I'm seeing that shift as well, which I think will ultimately help the broader population. More diversity groups in the community, also within organizations. So more ERGs, again, I think employee resource groups had kind of tailed off a little bit,
right,
as far as having funding, having executive support and sponsorship, which I think is really important because if the leadership's not involved or doesn't make it important, then the lower ranks or the broad employee base doesn't necessarily buy in, or because they think it's just check the box.
Right, you got to have it from the top down.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, well, Jennifer, obviously on the topic of leadership, any piece of advice you would give someone aspiring on the path towards a leadership role, what would it be?
There's one.
Two or three, okay. If you prefer.
Okay. Going to bend the rules a little bit here. And this is something that, these are the things that I continue to work on myself, you know, so it's not like I'm the executive director of this organization. I'm done, you know, and let it go. But I say stay humble. Remember that the best leaders really do surround themselves with people who are smarter with it than they are or have different experiences. Admit when you're wrong.
That's an important one.
Uh-huh. And then, or that even if you just didn't handle something as best you could have, you know, I think that's important. Don't be afraid to have tough conversations. That, you know, there's a, I think Brene Brown says something like, you know, you can be clear but kind. And a lot of people would much rather, we oftentimes, I think, get caught up, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or, you know, upset them. But not being clear makes it, prolongates, you know, tension, challenges, you know, miscommunication. If we just say, look, this is where we're at, this is where we need to be, clear, just clear expectations and clear the air. This is one, too, that I think that I've been in the receiving end, but also see it as resist the urge to micromanage. I think when things are tense and, you know, stakes are high, people, leaders can get in their own way and get in their people's way. So set those expectations, be there as a resource, you know, encourage your folks to reach out to you with questions and things, but also set the goal and then let them get there how they want to or how they best see it. Because it may be different from you, but it doesn't mean that they won't end up in the same place.
I think we're all guilty of that one, right? And we all have to learn our lessons from that as we go through our journey of leadership.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, that's great. I am want to give you an opportunity to promote Leadership Fort Worth.
Thank you.
So any of the programs that you mentioned today, again, you definitely got my stamp of approval. Love the program. Love the stuff that you're doing there. I think it's awesome. Great. I think it's very important to the future and the sustainability of this region. How does someone reach you?
Yeah. We have a great website, of course. You can do that. But the best way is probably just to send me a note at jennifer.trevino@leadershipfortworth, all spelled out, .org. It is the longest email address I've ever had. Or you can call or text me on my mobile, which I've had for the same number for years, so I have no problem giving it out. It's 817-319-5876. Again, if you Google Leadership Fort Worth, we'll come up. It's leadershipfortworth, all spelled out, .org. We're on all the social media. Well, not all the social media. Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Those are the platforms that we're on. So hopefully one of those will be in your sphere as well.
Very good. And any last thoughts or words of inspiration, in particular for our student base here at TCC or for our young folks here in the community?
I think one of the things that I tell a lot of folks is your career path does not have to be a ladder. Because I would say definitely mine hasn't been. I describe it more like a jungle gym because I've gone up, down, sideways, different directions, and especially when you consider that working as a leader in the nonprofit sector, like I said, is my sixth industry. There's probably one more after this. Who knows? But I think the important thing is figuring out what you like to do, what you're good at, how to transfer those skills, and, you know, especially if you live within your means, that gives you more flexibility, too, when you want to make a career shift, whether it's to go back to school, take a job that's maybe more meaningful but doesn't pay as well.
So those difficult decisions to make, but you got to make them for yourself, right?
Yeah. So definitely, Jungle Gym is kind of the image I promote.
I love it. I love it. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for being here today. Oh, we really appreciate learning more about Leadership Fort Worth and all the programs that you offer. And very, very grateful for your time here today. And hopefully we'll see you again soon.
Thanks so much, Shannon. It was my pleasure.
So, and for everyone out there listening, we look forward to seeing you on the next edition of the Workforce Lens. Thank you.